But when you get saved, things ought to be different. Amen. And when my papa got saved, he was a changed man. People come from miles around just to look and see if that was really Tom Shelton that got saved. They said, we couldn't believe it. He done got religion. He used to be one of the meanest men on the mountain. But, boy, God changed him around. He did a 180 for the Lord, and things were different around the house. It's different now. Once I was lost in sin.
I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by His grace I'm free. Now it's different. Oh, so different now.
It's different now, since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now, oh, by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different, oh, so different now. I went to church one day to hear them sing and pray. The preacher firmly plowed the gospel plow. He said, you must repent, so down the aisle I went. Now it's different, oh, so different now.
It's different now, since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now, oh, by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different, oh, so different now.
And now my hopes are bright. I praise Him day and night. How He could change me so I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done. The victory now is won. Now it's different.
Different now, since Jesus saved my soul.
It's different now,
oh, by His blood I'm whole. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me.
Now it's different, oh, so different now. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different,
oh, so different.
Told the bus workers we was passing out some flyers the other day for the Cowboy Carnival, and they were some big full-color pictures of all of our main attractions. Handed it to a little boy, and I said, man, you need to come to the Cowboy Carnival. Oh, it says, we're going to have the Adrenaline Rush Obstacle Course, the Stars and Stripes Bounce House, the Gospel Train. We're going to have a mechanical bull and all kinds of things. You got to come. And he says, wow. He said, how much it cost? I said, it's free. He said, free. He said, how much it costs to ride the bull? I said, it's free. He said, I'm coming. He was so excited because those things were free. Never forgot that boy getting so excited about that. And I thought, you know, the greatest gift of all is free. And that's something worth getting excited about. Amen. 117 folks praying and getting saved today, and it was free. Didn't cost him a dime. If we had to pay for it, we couldn't afford it, could we? That's for sure. And so we want to sing this song entitled, I'm Glad It's That Way. You can put everything that I own in the trunk of my car. You can take every dime that I have. It won't get you too far. But I found the secret when I knelt to pray. God did not ask me how much can you pay. Salvation is free, and I'm glad it's that way.
In a land far away, on an old rugged cross, sin never strayed, but He paid the cost. By His stripes we are healed, and His blood washed our sins all away.
And I'm glad it's that way.
You can live in a mansion or live in a shack by the road. You can breeze through this life, but God's grace, He'll carry your load. You can drive a new car up to the grave. Somebody else will drive it away, but salvation is free, and I'm glad it's that way.
In a land far away, on an old rugged cross, the sin debt was great, but He paid the cost. By His stripes we are healed, and His blood washed our sins all away.
And I'm glad it's that way.
In a land far away, on an old rugged cross, the sin debt was great, but He paid the cost. By His stripes we are healed, and His blood washed our sins all away.
And I'm glad it's that way. Aren't you glad it's that way? Thank God it's that way.
It's been good singing, hasn't it? I enjoy that. Enjoy the good music, and I enjoy the family. I enjoy their attitude, spirit. Had a wonderful time with them last night at the house. They came out. We had some jambalaya. Amen. It was good. And man, that Midwest pork and potatoes lady I married has sure learned something. Amen. About cooking, she can put some jambalaya on the table. And good stuff. And we had a great time of fellowship with the Walker family. So thankful they could come be with us today. Let's go to John chapter 14. I had Brother Caleb let Brother Walker know far in advance that I regretted not having him preach. Last time he brought a great message here on Sunday night. Really, that makes it easier on me just to have fun after the morning service, not ponder the evening. But we're going to be gone for a while, and I appreciate the opportunity, of course. Joyce and I are looking forward to it, and I'll say a word about that. So I felt like I wanted to speak tonight to you before we go, and on something special I want to share with you. Let's stand together. John chapter 14. Now, I say special. There's nothing special about this. It's pretty just old cornbread and potatoes. Amen. But we'll get something out of the Bible, hopefully. Verses 1 through 3. And would you join me on verse number 2 as we always do, read responsibly, all right? These are our Savior's words here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I want to see, look at verse number 1. Jesus told him, let not your heart be troubled. So I want to speak tonight on this subject, comfort for a troubled heart. Comfort for a troubled heart. Let's pray. Dear Father, we love you, and our hearts are rejoicing in full tonight at the great work you did, Lord, through the work of these people, this church. God, thank you for their faithfulness. They're getting behind the program, and Lord, if it weren't for people, laborers, folks, teenagers, adults, young people, we could never see a day like today. We know that, and so we rejoice in their kindness, their faithfulness. I pray that you'll bless them. I know many, as I said, Lord, earlier, tired. Many are not well. They have scratchy throats, in some cases very sore throats, respiratory diseases, colds. I pray that you'll touch them, heal them, and bless them. And Lord, even some sick couldn't be with us tonight because they have a fever. The Lord, rejoice in the ones that are here. Now bless these moments together. We'll thank you in advance in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated. Let me get you to keep your Bible open there. When was it? A year and a half ago, you folks gave us the gift of money for one of the anniversaries, I think, to go on the trip to see Ben and Ashley. To say we're excited is an understatement. To say they're excited is an understatement. That'd be the first family to visit them in Madagascar. We got to go to France, and the Finns did too. But this is the first time for a family to come to Madagascar, and he's excited for us to be there on Sunday and see that whatever people come, And there's only one of them that professes to be saved, but he kind of counts them as really dear to his heart right now, praying that they'll get saved, you know, in the future. And so we appreciate so much the gift. Boy, it was so frustrating to have to cancel twice, once because of the trouble with her pregnancy, and then when the doctor wouldn't let her go to Madagascar, and then the second time because of the trouble in the country there. This time, I don't think I could keep my wife away. If it was trouble everywhere, I think she's going. And I better go along to take care of her, all right? So, but we're so excited. So looking forward to it. We're not looking forward to the flight. It's three flights. It's 31 hours one way and then 31 hours coming back. They don't make seats for a tall man. They do, but they're in the section that nobody could afford. Okay, and I wish I had Cecil Ballard on this trip. Yeah, next time, y'all raise enough money to send him too, would you? All right, we went to the Philippines that time. We were all back in the, you know, where they eat spam and Vienna sausage in the back in the economy class, and somehow he goes for a walk on that big old 747. He's wandering around the plane. He comes back with a box of Godiva chocolates. Not a Godiva chocolate, a box of Godiva chocolates. Where did you get that? Oh, I was up in first class. He was walking around. He said, I was talking with people up there and got to talking to the guy, and I told him, man, I got some friends that sure would like that chocolate. So he talked that steward in first class into giving him a whole box of Godiva chocolates, brought it back, and they were eating Vienna sausage, and we were eating Godiva chocolates. And so, but we'll probably just get spam on this trip, all right? So, but anyway, it's a long trip, but nonetheless, it'll sure be worth it all when we land over there and see them. And looking forward to it. I the Church of Being Good Hands, I have no qualms about that. The Church of Being Good Hands, the fellows that'll be here. Brother Caleb's going on a much-deserved and a long-awaited vacation. He hadn't had his vacation for the year, so he'll be leaving tomorrow. I'm glad he and Emily can go, and they're going to see her folks in Oklahoma City. And so Brother Jason and Brother Mick, Brother Hall will be here for the most of it. Brother Caleb will be coming back in toward the end. And then I told the fellows, Jason and Mick and Mike, I said, now look, if y'all have trouble, Miss Britt's been in this office for about 12, 13 years, so she knows about everything, all right? So she can pastor the church if y'all can. And that's about the truth. So y'all may have, there may be a man in the pulpit, but there's probably a woman behind the scenes, okay? And I'm not joking too much about that. But anyway, we're going to have four special speakers, and none of them are coming from the outside. And I mean that because I think all the guys that work on staff here are special. I love them all. And Brother Bragg and Brother Jason, Brother Bragg's up Wednesday, and Brother Jason will take both the services next Sunday. Then Brother Mick will take the next Wednesday. Brother Caleb will be back. He'll do the last Sunday before I come back. And Lord willing, we'll be of sane body and mind to be here that next Wednesday and in the pulpit, hopefully, Lord willing, for that. And so we look forward to it. Now, I have no qualms about being gone. The only concern I have about being gone, and boy, I don't want you to take this wrong. I am a Baptist. I believe in one of the Baptist distinctives, and that is the priesthood of the believer. You don't need a go-between to get to God. You don't need a go-between to understand that book right there. All you need in the person of the Holy Spirit to understand that Bible. And you have as much rights and privileges. Every child of God has the rights and privileges of access to the Father. Amen. And so I understand what I'm going to say here. There are times when there are burdens and there are sorrows and there are griefs. And you don't have to talk to the pastor, but you want to. And I understand that. And I'm glad many of you do. And many of you, you know, you're as close to the pastor as you want to be. That's the honest truth. You're as close to the pastor as you want to be. I don't answer the phone calls from some people and ignore the others. I answer them all. And unless we're not home or something, the answer machine gets it, or I'm on another call or something. And many of you share your heartaches. Many of you share your burdens. You share the victories and you share the defeats. And I appreciate that. I enjoy that part of pastoring. I don't always enjoy the news. Sometimes the news is not pleasant. Sometimes it's heavy and it's hard to take, hard to hear. But I enjoy that part of sharing your burdens and sharing your heartaches. And so for a while, I'll be inaccessible over there, 9,800 miles away. And I was talking with a member of the church, just crossed paths after a service not long ago, and learned about a burden that the spouse is carrying, and just some burdens there that the spouse is carrying. And we talked a little bit about the details and so forth, and hopefully I'll get a phone call maybe before I leave even that'll shed a little bit more light on that subject. And there's a little anxiety, you know, and that kind of thing goes on, folks, all the time. All the time. All the time. You don't always know about it. All the time. And sometimes you just, you want to talk to the pastor. And I know I called Brother Brown Wednesday night before the service. I have a pair of shoes that he bought for me that I still wear, and I was shining them up before the service Wednesday night back there in the office. And I thought, man, I ought to call him and thank him for these shoes and just tell him I appreciate him. And boy, he took quite a gamble on a fellow that had only been saved for about 3 or 4 years when he hired me to be his assistant pastor, and coming out of the background that I had, and gave me a start and trained me and mentored me and loved me and loved my family for 10 years. And so I just called him. I said, "Preacher," and my voice, remember my voice Wednesday night was gone. I said, "Preacher." He said, "Oh, no. Something's wrong, Terry." I said, "No." I said, "Really not. I read it really not. I just called to tell you I love you and thank you for the shoes and thank you for taking a risk on me some years ago. And maybe you feel like it was a bad risk, but thank you for taking a risk on me and letting me serve you and work for you and teaching me. And I just thank you." But there have been times when I've called him. When I get up against something and I got to talk to somebody, I call him. And there are times when that happens. You got to talk to your pastor. And so I want to just leave you something that if something comes up, if a burden comes up, if a grief comes up, if a sorrow comes up while I'm gone in your heart, maybe something to do with your health or maybe something to do with finances or job or something, or maybe a relative, I just want you to know that it doesn't matter if a pastor's 8 miles away or 9,800 miles away, there's comfort for a troubled heart. There's always comfort for a troubled heart. And I want you to see this tonight. Now, the disciples of Jesus Christ were dealing with troubled hearts. He had just told them that He was soon leaving them, and they had been with Him for 3.5 years. And now He was going away for a while, and their hearts were troubled because of that. And in no way, shape, or form am I saying that this I'm Jesus and I'm going away for a while. Like, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that's why their hearts were troubled. He was going away. And He told them in verse number 1, He said, "Now look, don't let your hearts be troubled." And he told them four things I want to show you here. That four things that make for a comfort for a troubled heart. First, it's so simple. And you've heard all this before, I'm sure, somebody, if not myself. Number one, he said there's comfort in a troubled heart in a person. There's comfort for a troubled heart in a person. He said in verse number 1, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Now, these are Jews he's speaking to. And for all these years, the Jews had heard about Jehovah God. I am that I am. The Jehovah, the God of the Jews, the God of the Hebrew people, delivered them from the land of Egypt and sent them prophets and preachers and brought them into the land that flowed with milk and honey and took them into captivity and then brought them back and restored them to their country and led them to restore the temple and the walls. And God, Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. And he said, "For all these years, you folks have believed in God." He said, "I want you to believe also in me." He said, he made it clear that He was God. He was the I Am. And he said, you know, now listen, the person of Jesus Christ can bring peace to a troubled heart. You can find comfort for a troubled heart in a person. Have you ever been in a certain situation where you were anxious, you were troubled, and just having a certain person beside you brought some measure of peace to your heart? Maybe it was your spouse. Maybe it was a child. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a friend. But you're in one of those situations where it's anxious and troubled and you're just kind of sorrowful. And just the presence of that person just brought some comfort to your troubled heart. And I remember when we did go to France to see Ben and Ashley. And I remember landing at O'Hare Tuesday afternoon and calling Abby, who I thought was getting off school here, teaching school in the academy last year, and her answering the phone, "Hello." And I said, "Abby, this is Dad. Where are you?" "I'm at O'Hare." "Where are you?" "Central Waiting." I said, "What? Central Waiting? What are you talking about? Central Waiting? Where are you?" She said, "You haven't talked to Mom." I said, no, Mom's in France. I just got off an 8-hour flight from Paris. No. She said, Jareth's in surgery. You could have blown me over. You could have blown me over with a you could have just touched me. I'd have, Benny Hinn wouldn't have had to even pull all the shenanigans. I'd have fallen right over, man. I mean, I could not believe my ears. In surgery. Yes, and of course, you know the story. Her appendix had trouble when we were gone. And so they rushed her, and then Abby and Leah were here and did such a wonderful job sistering her, mothering her, if you will, while we were gone. And she was in surgery. And boy, Brother Jorge picked me up, and I just told that fella, as soon as I got in the car, I said, take me to Riverside. He already knew. He said, I won't tell you from O'Hare to Riverside the time that we made it there, all right? I won't tell you how quickly we made it. And I remember what Abby didn't know was she was just coming out of surgery when we talked on the phone, and then the time it took us to get there, she got out of recovery, and I walked in the hospital room. The little thing was laying there in the bed, and Abby and Leah sitting there, and I could see in all three of their faces when I just walked in the room, I could see in all three of their faces just relief. They'd done a good job. I could see it in Abby, and I could see it in Leah, and I could really see it in Jared. In fact, it got better when she saw her mother a few days later. I will say that. But, you know, just walking in the room that afternoon just brought a sense of relief and comfort and peace to a troubled heart. And you've been in situations before where someone's presence has brought you comfort. And friend, I want you to say to you, whether there's situations in the next 2 weeks, or if there's situations in the next 2 years, or any situation you face in the rest of your life, if it's impossible for a mortal person to be there to bring your heart comfort, there is one who can calm life's troubled sea, and His name is Jesus. And He is never more than just a prayer away. And I mean that with all my heart. Man, Jesus dealt with people's troubled hearts when He was here on earth. People who were anxious, people who were grieving, people who were troubled. He brought them comfort. And He told them, He said, look, all that you've believed about God, now believe in me. Have faith in me. Not just a mental acknowledgement, but man, trust me. Have faith in me. I can do what you need. I can be the man. I can be the person you need in your life. Have faith in me. Believe in me. And friend, if you hit one of those spots in the next little while, and you call Brother Jason, Brother Mick, Brother Mike, they'll do their best, I know, to come, and they'll share the burdens with you. And they'll meet here on Wednesdays, and they'll pray. And some of you have asked us to pray about certain things recently, and there's been some answers to prayer recently. We praise God for that. But they'll pray. And I'll tell you what, if you can't get to a person, if you can't get to your spouse, if you can't get to your pastor, if you can't get to your friend, if you can't get to your dad and mom, He is always there. He's always there. And really, friend, there's no cause to ever fall apart. Really no cause. Jesus, a person. There is comfort for a troubled heart in a person. His name is Jesus. Number two, let me say this. There is comfort for a troubled heart in a place. In verse number two, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I love what Jesus called it here. He called it my Father's house. I like that. In the other places in the Bible, it's called heaven. It's not a place here on this earth. It's not anywhere here on this planet. It's up. It's another direction altogether. Heaven is a beautiful, wonderful place. And all the things that cause us trouble down here, all the things that cause us unrest and anxiety, none of those things can be found in heaven. I'm talking about recession. I'm talking about unemployment. I'm talking about foreclosure and repossession and bankruptcy and stimulus and bailout. I'm talking about retirement money lost and being laid off with a pink slip or your business closed or losing business. I'm talking about cancer. I'm talking about swine flu, health care, heart problems, doctor's appointments, and biopsies. I'm talking about divorce, adultery, cheating, anger management, separation, and abuses of all kinds. I'm talking about Iraq, Iran, North Korea, China, Cuba, Venezuela, Afghanistan, tsunamis, earthquakes, wildfires, and hurricanes, terrorists, Al-Qaeda, suicide bombers, deployment and surges. None of that is found in that wonderful place that we call home. None of that is there. In the Father's house, God is there. Jesus is there. As I preached 2 or 3 Sunday mornings ago, it's a golden home. Jesus told His disciples He was going there to get it ready. a real place, friend. Not some state of mind. Not some Casper the Friendly Ghost thing floating around out there on a cloud somewhere. We're talking about a place. We're talking about a place that has gates and has walls. A place that has streets and has houses and mansions. And a place that has a throne or two. Amen. Where God and Jesus are. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Heaven can bring peace to a troubled heart. Heaven can bring peace to can bring comfort to a troubled heart. I think that's one reason why there's so many songs about heaven. If you ever count the songs that our choir sings, how many of them are about heaven? How many of the special music CDs and tapes you have? And the songs are about heaven. I don't think that's an accident. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think heaven provides comfort for troubled hearts. I remember, and Jesus called it my Father's house. I remember when we were first married, had a kid or two or three, even up to the time I was 29 years of age, we had three children then. And I remember, I was a husband, and I was a dad, and I had a house, and a ministry with Brother Brown, a job, and it would come time to go on vacation. And back in those days, we didn't have a lot of extra money to do things like some of the things we've been able to do in recent years, and didn't have a lot of money. So it was always cheap to go to Dad's house. Hey, probably it always paid to go to Dad's house. Seemed like Dad always gave us money for gas. We were always going home with more stuff than we took. And it was about a 15-hour trip, about 1,000 miles from out where we were in Atlanta down to, not quite 1,000. I forget exactly what it was. A little 800 and something, I think. But about a 15-hour trip. And I remember we'd get in the vehicle. And, I've got a home of my own. And I've got a wife. And I got children. And I got responsibilities. And I got all this going. But you know, we'd get in that car and we'd go down and we'd get to my dad's house. And I don't care, you know, it doesn't matter if I was, what was going on. When I got to Dad's house, there was a sense of relief. It was just kind of like, hey, I could be a kid again. I got a wife and kids and I got responsibility. But for these days, I'm at Dad's house. And for a short time, I'm going to get to be here. And it was a blessing. It was just a blessing. And you know, friend, one of these days, we're going to get to that place. It's not going to be just heaven. It's going to be our Father's house. Boy, there is comfort for a troubled heart in a person. There's comfort for a troubled heart in a place. Number three, let me say tonight, that there's comfort for a troubled heart in a promise. Look at verse number 3. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I will come again. Now this is great. I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you to that place. Now friend, no one doubts that Jesus came to this earth the first time. We're about to go into that season that I love, Christmas time. I love it. I love the decorations. I love the music. I love the spirit of the season. I love it all. I don't worship the decorations or the tree or the tinsel, but I sure do get excited when I see it go up because it speaks to me of Jesus Christ. Every bit of it does. The star, the manger, everything. No doubt about it. He came the first time. Many promises that were fulfilled when He came the first time to Bethlehem's manger. But there are more promises about His second coming than there were His first coming. Jesus will come again. I wouldn't gamble that that's a fairy tale. I wouldn't dismiss that as a crazy story. I wouldn't laugh it away, and I wouldn't be guilty of what Peter talked about in 2 Peter chapter 3, that in the last days, many will become scoffers. Well, where is the promise of His coming? We've heard that for so long, I don't even believe it anymore. I wouldn't fall into that trap, friend. I'd keep an eye on the eastern sky, amen? We might have one foot in the grave, but have one foot on earth. And we're not looking for the undertaker, we're looking for the upper taker, no doubt about it. He's coming. He is coming. So, I'll just wait and see. No, Jesus said when He comes, He's going to come as a thief in the night. Thief in the night. And there won't be any, hey, 48 hours and I'm on my way. Hey, 36 hours left and I'm coming. Hey, 24 hours, are you ready? Hey, 12 hours. Hey, 10. Won't be any of that stuff. Everybody be in the midst of a busy day or a busy evening. We hear the trumpet sound. We hear the voice of the archangel come up hither. We'll take off like a rocket through the sky. Amen. Amen. Dead in Christ, those loved ones that we've buried will, will precede us just for a few split seconds. The dead in Christ will come first, and then we which alive and remain caught up together with the Lord and meet them in, with the Lord in the air. That's reality. Yes. That's a promise. Now there's comfort for a troubled heart in that. There's comfort for a troubled heart in a promise. Jesus is coming again. These folks have troubled hearts. Jesus told them, said, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Here. There's comfort for your troubled heart in a person. Believe in me. There's comfort for a troubled heart in a place. It's my Father's house. There's comfort for a troubled heart in a promise. I'm coming back to get you. So you just keep at it. I'm coming back to get you. And then number four, I want you to see this. There's comfort for a troubled heart in a personal desire. I love the very last phrase of verse number three. He said that where I am, there ye may be also. Now I got to read that again. What? That where I am, there ye may be also. The reason I'm coming to get you is because I want you to be with me. What? Jesus, you want us to be with you? And by the way, this wasn't a one-time thing he expressed just one time. No, in his high priestly prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is what he said. Listen, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. God, I want those you've given to me. I want them to be with me. He was talking about going to glory. He was talking about being in heaven. And he said, I want those you've given me to be there where I am. He expressed it again at the Last Supper when he came with the disciples. And one of the first things he said around the table was, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. This is not just a one-time deal, friend. It's the heart of Jesus being expressed. To me, this is the amazing thing, that Jesus Christ truly desires to be with us. That's amazing to me. Who are we? Who are we? We're nothing but a bunch of old sinners. Sinners with a dark nature that will even surprise us sometimes, how dark it is. Sinners with a nature that leads us away from God, not towards Him. Yet the sinless one really longs to be with us. I tell you what, since salvation, He does not see us as lost sinners anymore. He sees us robed in His righteousness. He sees us washed in His blood. He sees the spots cleaned and the stains washed away. He sees us as His sheep. He sees us as little brothers and sisters. He sees us as His servants. He sees us as His friends. You know the great thing about Jesus? He wants His sisters and His brothers and His friends and His servants and His sheep home with Him. He wants us with Him. He wants us to be with Him. I love the old song in our songbook. Now it is Jesus and me. For each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow, I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend. And so to the end, it's Jesus and me. This is not a corporate religion. This is a personal religion. This is not some organized hierarchy. This is Jesus. And I hope it's Jesus and you. And a great thing to understand, a wonderful thing about Jesus, He died for the world, but He is my personal friend.
Amen.
And He's yours. And He wants us to be where He is. There's comfort for a troubled heart in a person, a place, a promise, and the personal desire of Jesus Christ. One of these days, I want you. You're going to be with me. I don't care how bad it's getting, folks. How bad it gets. Those truths, those realities will bring a measure of peace and comfort to a troubled heart. I don't care where your pastor is. Now, unless he's in the tavern or someplace like that, then that might be a bad idea. But I don't care how far away he is. And even your spouse, your parent, or that friend that just is the one that kind of shores up your confidence and brings comfort. There's always comfort in Him. Comfort for a troubled heart. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening.